I do think that relationships are critical, and it's one of the things that we miss in accounts receivable, because many people feel like it's just my job to pick up the phone, call, and collect the money. That might work with a car payment, but in the industries that I've been in, the relationship is longstanding, and you want to build a relationship where that person feels like they want to speak to you and they want to let you know things.
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We're your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us.
Welcome to today's episode of Collecting Thoughts. Today, we have our guest, Maggie. Maggie is the Director of Credit and Collections for True Light Glass and Aluminum and has consulted with several other companies in addition to her full-time work to help streamline and manage their receivables issues. She has been working in accounts receivable, credit, and collections for over 20 years. Her focus is on lowering past due balances while creating real partnerships with the sales team and, most importantly, the customer. Maggie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Christina. Thanks for having me on.
Today, I want to talk about your experience in receivables and your techniques for reducing past due balances within True Light. But before we get to that, I want to hear a little bit more about your background. So can you tell me, how did you get started in this industry?
I got started in accounts receivable because I was a secretary at a company, and the CFO saw something in me that he thought would be a good fit in accounts receivable. So he started me working on calling customers, and it seemed to be a good fit, and that's all there was.
With being in the industry for over 20 years, there must have been something that caught on that you really enjoy about it, right?
There is. I do love talking with the customer and working things out with them and having a relationship, building a relationship with the customer. It is just another facet of customer service for a company, and I think building that relationship really helps.
Well, that's actually a great segue into my first question. So we're going to be talking a lot about relationship building between the collector and the customer. Can you describe how important you feel relationship building is in a collections role?
I think relationship building is probably one of the most important factors in being able to successfully collect money. I think that people who have a relationship with a collector or with somebody in AR is more inclined to pay that person first or let them know if something is going awry at the company or something's happened and how to work through that. I do think that relationships are critical, and it's one of the things that we miss in accounts receivable because many people feel like it's just my job to pick up the phone, call, and collect the money. That might work with a car payment when you don't have to have a relationship with the customer afterwards. But in the industries that I've been in, the relationship is longstanding, and you want to build a relationship where that person feels like they want to speak to you and they want to let you know things, and vice versa.
And how do you crack that initial barrier from being the person that your customer is assuming is just calling to get the bill, into more of a longstanding connection that you have, that they have at the company and that they can actually reach out to for maybe other things?
A few ways. I think first, when I call and say, hello, how are you? I really mean it and listen for the answer. And a lot of people don't, I feel like, wait for the answer. It's just something that they're saying.
Yeah, like a regular greeting.
Exactly, right? So, if somebody says, oh, I'm okay, right? There is a nuance there. They are telling you something, and then you can follow up and say, is everything okay? Is this a good time? Do you want me to call you back? People remember things like that. If you sound stressed or you sound like you're going through something and give them the opportunity to come back rather than just keep going, it's something that they recall. Recently, we changed the team to different customers. So our teams call on certain branches. And for the teams that were going to have new branches that week, I told them, don't call it anybody for money. I want you to call every single customer and say, hello, my name is Maggie. And I'm calling to introduce myself and find out a little bit about your business. What days do you like to be called? Is there a better day over another? Get some information about their company and how they feel and start to build the relationship there. ask them what they want and what they need, not just what you want.
Oh, that's a really great idea. And especially with the new branches, that gives you a really great base to lay of yourselves and your team as people that are calling genuinely to build that relationship and not just position yourselves as the receivables team.
Right. Especially because, and I think that would be if you were just starting a new job as receivables, right? Of course, they want you to come in and collect that money right away. But the first thing is to start initially building that relationship and building the momentum, because for us, there's a lot of touch points for Truelight, right? They speak to customer service, they speak to their sales reps, but they speak a lot to accounts receivable because that's the person who's trying to collect the money week after week. If you have one bad experience with one person at Truelight, the bad experience is with Truelight, not with Maggie, right? So we want to stay away from that and build the relationship just like we'd want our sales rep to build the relationship with the customer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So building this relationship must help you and your team pick up cues as to when someone starts being a bit more unresponsive. Do you have any tricks that you use to engage these unresponsive customers when they're either delinquent or you can tell that they're getting close to delinquency?
Sure. Well, we have a lot of processes in place to reach out to the customer. So if we don't hear, usually our customers still pick up the phone when they're not paying and they say, okay, I'm going to get it to you. The signal for me is how long it's been since they've made their last payment, right? Somebody who hasn't made a payment in 60 days, but has weekly invoices is probably experiencing an issue. One of the tips that I use that has become very handy is I use my cell phone. So we call from a number from our business and everybody knows your number. So if I call from my cell phone, usually they answer because they don't know my number. And again, the conversation is, you know, look, it sounds like there's a problem here and maybe you're experiencing some difficulty. I'd like to help you with that. And I'm happy to do that. This is my personal cell phone number. You can call me back on it, but let's work through this process.
Okay. And then since you brought up another means of communication, I'm wondering, a lot of the people that I talk to on the podcast, we talk about, you know, balancing humanization and relationship building with the technology that's available today to help personalize outreach strategies, help connect with customers in the channel that they are most responsive to. How would you say your balance between humanization and technology is at Truelight, or just in any experience that you've had in the industry before?
I think at Truelight, we have a very good balance. We try to reach the customer where they live, right? So our question to them is, how do you want to be reached? Most of the people, especially if they're smaller customers, are out there putting glass in, so they don't want to be answering the phone while they are. So we can be emailing them. We have our own portal where they can go in and pay their invoices themselves. They get notifications every week regarding those past due invoices. So we reach them everywhere. We reach them from the internet. We reach them by email, by a text, call, and all of that is fruitful. I think every customer is a little bit different. If you have someone in the office, they like a call. If you're running a shop yourself, you like an email or a text message.
Yeah, that's a really great point you made. Your customers specifically, a lot of them are actually working. So they're in the job, probably odd hours. They necessarily can't take like a 9-to-5 business call. But that's when you know that they're going to respond more preferably to an email or a text message. That's a really great note. You mentioned that you have a customer portal. So it also sounds like you're making it easy for these unresponsive customers to come to you when they feel ready. Of course, you're following up with calls, but you have this portal so that they can self-serve in a way as well.
Yes. So we do try to make it easy for our customers to do business with us at every touch point. The portal does allow them to log in and they can see their orders and orders that are pending. They can track their orders. They can get all of their financials. They can pay their invoices by ACH or credit card. They can pay certain invoices, all invoices. They can pay them partially, notate if they have a credit. So we do have the means that makes it easier for them to reach out to us when they want to. And we also send a reminder via email that you can access your invoices in this place if you're reaching us after hours. Most of the customers do have my cell phone number, so they can just reach out to me as well at any time, and I pick up the phone and help them.
Oh, that's really amazing. Is the team rather small that you can have that like really close-knit relationship with them?
Our team is lean, but one of the companies that I worked for, and we were very customer service driven, one of the things that he was adamant about is, one, picking up the phone after the second ring, like before the second ring, and two, every catalog that he put out had his personal cell phone number in it. So as the president of the company, and it grew to be a very big company, every year he was steadfast in, if you have an issue and you can't get it resolved with anybody in the company, you can call me on my phone and I will resolve it. And that's just something I've taken with me. I think it goes a long way with customers that they're able to reach one person and know that they'll be heard. And even if it's not resolved in that moment, that it will be resolved.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of demystifies you, your team and the corporation as, you know, just someone who's trying to collect the bill. And you're really putting a face and a personality and everything and showing these people that you're actually a person who is there to help them and answer any questions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that helps. And it, as we were saying before, it goes a long way in relationship building, knowing that, you know, I'm accessible and I'm happy to help you serve your customer, because that's ultimately the end goal.
Absolutely. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but I know I saw on your LinkedIn a big part of your responsibility is reducing those past due balances. How would you say, you know, early delinquency detection and picking up on these cues for through these relationships that you build help you reach that goal of reducing the past due balances and helping your team kind of get it ahead of time before customers do reach that delinquent stage?
So I think for me, it's consistency and communication. Every week, if a customer is, their invoice is over their terms, we're reaching out to them. And again, it doesn't have to be a collection call. It is a call to say, hey, I just wanted to make sure that you had the invoices. But we reach out to our customers by phone every week if they have an invoice over their terms. And then if we don't reach them by phone, we do follow up with an email. They do also get another email just automatically that drives them to the portal if they need invoices for themselves. But we are constantly on the forefront of, hey, there's something that's due. In terms of seeing if a customer is going south, I think that there are tells, you know, like a customer who doesn't make a payment or hasn't made a payment in quite some time is usually a good indication that something is going south for them, and somebody who does stop communicating.
Thank you so much, Maggie, for joining me today. This was a really great conversation. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you want to add that we didn't get to touch on?
No, but I was so happy to join you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks.